What is on my heart to share with you today, I believe, is something that we all need to share. Last week, when I was preaching in our other church, because Sue and I, we have two churches between us. We're privileged to have two. This one, on a Sunday evening usually, and Danes Court Christian Fellowship on a Sunday morning. Last Sunday, I was preaching on, in a series on the names of God, and the name I had to speak on in that series was Jehovah Shalom. God is my peace. And those were, it was a name that was, that arose out of Gideon's experience of meeting the angel. But it was a peace that he had in his heart because of that experience. And I was going to close that particular sermon by reading through Psalm 31. I wasn't going to comment on the individual verses, but I thought Psalm 31 was a great psalm to end on the subject of peace with God. The peace of God. But I didn't have time to do it. Last Sunday morning, when Nisia asked if I was able to speak this morning, I thought, Psalm 31, that would be good. Not because I had prepared what I wanted to say, I was just going to read it. But this week I've been reading through it in more detail. And there's so much in there for you and me. So much so that if I don't finish it all in the next 20 minutes, you've got to come back this evening to hear the end.
Hallelujah.
Great. So, when am I going to start then? Well, let me tell you about an experience that I had just a fortnight ago. Now, I don't know how many of you are internet with it, how many of you buy on the internet, how many of you use your PayPal account when you buy on eBay. Maybe difficult for perhaps the older ones to understand what it is. But what you are doing when you buy stuff on the internet, you're actually saying, I want those goods, and I know that I can pay you. Do you trust me? And PayPal is a system, an organization, that says, if you can convince us, PayPal, that you have the cash, then we will pay for those goods on your behalf. And the seller will feel confident that we can settle your debts to him, and later on you can settle it up with us. That's how PayPal works. Well, a couple of weeks ago, we had a phone call at about 7:30 in the evening, and the chap on the phone said, this is PayPal here. We'd just like to ask you a couple of security questions. No, I don't answer any of these calls over the telephone. I'm much more security conscious on things like that. You send me an email. So, through the internet, he sends me an email. In that email, it said, did you buy goods to the value of £1,850 at 6:30 this evening? Woo! As soon as I read that, I said, no way! Someone had bought an Apple desktop, a PC, and an Apple iPad, and they charged it to me. £1,850. Whoa! I told them, no, that's not me. Stop! You mustn't pay it. You mustn't pay it. But they already had. £1,850. So there's going to be a collection afterwards. And later on, that same weekend, as we were sorting it out, PayPal wrote to me again and said, did you buy goods to the value of £700? No! And again, another £700. This was £3,250 that someone was buying stuff and they were charging me. Wow. Oh, that'll throw you in a bit of a panic just before Christmas, wouldn't it? But I've got to tell you this, and this you've just got to take my word for it. Didn't worry me at all. I knew I was innocent. I knew I hadn't bought the goods. I knew that PayPal would sort it out. And sure enough, they did. And the only reason that I was able to stay calm and still sleep at night was because I trusted PayPal to put it right. And they did. They found out who's actually been buying this stuff in my name, and they've got it all sorted out for me. So no great worry for me there. But you know, there's many times in your life, I'm sure, where a problem comes around and the first thing you do is panic. Right. Let's read Psalm 31. And let's see what the good Lord is going to bring out for each one of us. Because I need to be blessed as well. There isn't any doubt. I need to have a calmness in my spirit so that I'm able to go through my life with the experiences that I have, but know that none of them need overwhelm me. Okay? So I'm going to read all of Psalm 31. And you're going to say, oh, I can't wait for this evening. Because he's going to get to the end of it this evening. So you come back later. Right. Psalm 31 says this. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Now, I needn't have done any sermon right now, because all those verses you had earlier on that were given were on this same sort of theme. Right? Because he says, in you, O Lord, I will put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock and refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me, for you are my strength. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated those who regard useless idols. But I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy, for you have considered my trouble. You have known my soul in adversities and have not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a wide space. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I'm in trouble. My eye wastes away with grief. Yes, my soul and my body. For my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity and my bones, they waste away. I am a reproach among all my enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and am repulsive to my acquaintances. Those who see me outside, they flee from me. I'm forgotten, like a dead man, out of mind. I'm like a broken vessel, for I hear the slander of many. Fear is on every side. While they take counsel together against me, they scheme to take away my life. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemy and from those who persecute me. Make your face shine upon your servant. Save me for your mercy's sake. Do not let me be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon you. Let the wicked be ashamed. Let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence. Which seek insolent things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you, in the presence of the sons of men. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of man. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has shown me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off before your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplications when I cried out to you. Oh, love the Lord, all you his saints. For the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. What a psalm! You know, it's a very realistic psalm. There's ups and downs in this psalm. There are times when David feels overwhelmed by the things that are going on around him, how the people hate him, how the people would like to trap him, how the majority of people seem to be against him. Circumstances are bad. That's one of the lows. But then he's able to come up onto the heights and say, but I can trust in God. You know, we have a choice as to where we want to place ourselves. Are we going to wallow in the misery of self-pity and always stay in those valleys? Or are we going to give God the opportunity of showing his greatness and climb those hills and see his majesty and his greatness? You know, all life is made up of choices. I'm glad that you actually portrayed the invitation to see the nativity story in the haze. You must go and see it. Please do so. Take your families and friends. Take your children, your grandchildren. Some of you, your great-grandchildren. Because it is a good and great experience of what Christmas means. Christmas means that. We are centering around Jesus being born. I played Herod this week. Horrid Herod. I've finished now, so you can't go and see me as Herod. But I can assure you I put everything into it and I showed a lot of anger. A lot of hatred. I gave a lot of fear to everybody that was there. Because I wanted to kill that baby. At the end, when the lights have just gone down, the whole thing is finished, the applause is over, Mary picks up the baby and says to the children in the audience, would you like to see baby Jesus? And I come out from the side and I said, oh, do you want to see Herod? And they all go, boo. It's a choice they have to make. Do they want to see Jesus, who is the source, the reason for our Christmas? Or do they just want to stay in the world and actually experience all the difficulties that there are and all the hatred that there is in the world? You've got those same choices. Now, I don't know you well at all, okay? And I've got to tell you this, that if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then the peace that I want to be able to talk about through the rest of the day, you cannot experience that. Because it's Jesus that changes lives. It's Jesus that gives us a different focus in our lives. So when we look at this Psalm 31, for instance, it says here, verse 5, into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me. Hold that thought in your mind. Redeemed me. Okay? And then later on it says in verse 19, oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you. And at the end it says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Now, I've got to ask you, like this, about, what, 20 of you or more? I only know my wife in any great detail at all. My cousin, in some detail as well. So I don't know where you stand today. First of all, I've got to ask you, are you redeemed? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you been washed clean in him? Are you be able to sit there today and you know that you're holy and righteous? Do you know that for a fact? Then it says, those who fear God. Do you hold God in high regard, in great respect? Do you? Or do you just think, God's for Sunday? Do you hope in him? Are you saying, yes, I live my whole life and I know that I can of a certainty know myself to be a child of God. Know that my future is secured. If you can't answer yes to all of those things, then really speak to someone afterwards. Don't go through that door out there into that cold, into that worrisome world without having Jesus Christ as your foundation. Okay? Because the rest of this psalm just will not make sense to you. Because it's saying that all these great provisions that the psalm makes us aware of, are for those who are redeemed, who fear God, and who hope in him. So, let's move on. There's a reason why we need to be able to have a confidence of being able to rest in what God has already done for us. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, it says this, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this victory has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So someone who understands that this was not just a babe, This was the babe. This was Jesus. Is one who knows that he is safe and secure. Now, do you have that confidence today? Because that's what you need at the start of this exercise. Before we can find that peace, we have to know. There's an old proverb that says, it's difficult for me to get this right, so you've got to listen because I can only say it once. Well, I might have to say it a second time if I get it wrong. He who knows not and knows not that he knows not is a fool. Shun him. He who knows not and knows that he knows not is a child. Teach him. He who knows but knows not that he knows, you following me, is asleep. Wake him. But he who knows and knows that he knows is a wise man. Follow him. Now, where do you stand? Are people going to shun you? They're going to teach you? They're going to wake you? Or are they going to follow you? Because they can see that you have got something special. You can overcome all the difficulties that you encounter from day to day. We have to have a faith in that baby. As I was sitting there, I was thinking, is there communion under here? Yes, there is. What came into my mind was the Alpha and the Omega. In the beginning of Revelation, that's what Jesus calls himself. I am the Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end. And we've got two pictures here, haven't we? The beginning and the end. Okay? No. Whoever's nodding and saying yes. Because Jesus was before then. He was in creation. Okay? No mistakes about it. This was just the beginning of the life on this earth in bodily form. And is that the end? No. Because that is only when Jesus died for you and me. And then he rose again. And he's alive today. So he is the Alpha and the Alpha and the Omega. But it starts way over here. And it goes all the way over here. I'm not even saying it ends over here. Because we're not going to get to that end. That's the one that we need to know. And if we know it, let's have a confidence that yes, we know who that is. And let's be prepared to rest on that. And then we get some of this peace that I was hoping for. So you can all repeat that proverb now, can't you? He who knows not and knows not that he knows not. See? I'll give you a test before you go, and we'll make sure that you are able to repeat it word for word. Okay? If we now look down at verse 3, and this is more of a Bible study than it is of anything else, because that's really what we should do with the Word of God. We should say, I'm not just going to take a verse out of context. I want to see what it means in the context of the whole psalm. And I'm going to be going through it slowly. And I've only got to give myself another 5 minutes. What time? Jude, have I got a knock off? Jude, wake up. Oh. It's 11:45. How much longer have I got? All right. Oh, I see. Oh, ooh. Right, okay. We might get to verse 4 then. Right. But here we are. Now, it says there now in verse 3. Let's just read that. It says, for you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. And I was thinking, what does that really mean to me? Do you know, if you are a Christian, a child of God, and if the people around you know that, and that's a big if, right? First of all, you might have to tell them. Secondly, you might have to show them. But if they know that you are one of the children of God, they're going to look at you and they're going to say, is it worth it? Is it worth sort of being a child of God? Is it worth asking Jesus Christ as your Savior? It's your life that will tell them whether it's worth it. for your name's sake, it says in verse 3. Now, can you remember when the children of Israel were going through the wilderness? They really messed up time and time again, didn't they? And there were a number of times when God said, I'm going to wipe them out. I'm going to start again. And Moses turned around and said, whoa. You brought them out of Egypt. You brought them into the wilderness. What are the nations going to say if all of a sudden the children of Israel ain't here? They're going to say, you didn't manage it. Of course, God knew Moses was going to say that. And he was sort of saying, right, for my name's sake, let them live a right life. And that's just the same with you. Okay? For God's name's sake, you have been called into his family. We should be living like we're members of that family. We should be showing people the confidence we can have in our God is one that allows us to overcome the difficulties that we encounter. Okay? Because this verse goes on to say, therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. So my challenge to you is, are you prepared to be led? Are you prepared to be guided? Or do you still want to do your own thing? Go about things your own way. Get into your own brand of trouble. Because one of the definitions I had when I was doing this peace business, I'm not sure whether I can find it straight away, is, where was that definition I saw now? A definition of peace. This is one I used last week. A definition of peace could be a sense of well-being and fulfillment that comes from God and is dependent on his presence. If we go our own way, we walk away from God. He never walks away from us. Right? And the further we walk away from him, the more trouble we can get into, and the more difficult it is for us to actually stay and have a confidence in God, because we've actually gone down the wrong path. My friend and I, we did a sketch in church just the other week. It's called The Navigator. And the whole sketch was based on two inventors that were going to Dragon's Den, and one of them had developed a new form of sat-nav. His mate didn't think it stood a chance because there are so many of these in the shop. Something that, one of these little gadgets that work in the car and actually tell you which way to go. But what we had done, we'd spiritualized that a bit. And we'd actually say, if we listen to the sat-nav that God has given us, the Bible, he can actually use us to, now I've got to remember the right order of this. In 1 Timothy it says that the word of God is given us for training, rebuking, correcting, and teaching. No, it may be the other way around. Maybe teaching may be at the front end. I know it's a T, and then it's R-C-T on the end. That's Rhonda Cannon Taft. I remember that. Now, if we listen to the way God wants to lead us, then he will only bring good things for us. We may have to go through some difficulties. Okay? God is not saying, I am going to allow you to avoid all trouble. What he is saying is, I will be with you in all trouble. So if we follow the sat-nav in that he has given us, his word, we've got the Holy Spirit within us that's able to say, this is the right road, walk in it. If we're doing that, if we're walking along his path, then he is going to give us that peace that is his to give. He gives a peace that is not as the world gives us, but he gives us a magnificent peace that allows me not to be concerned about where that was going with PayPal. $3,000? What's $3,000? Let PayPal sort it out. And I must admit, I didn't miss a heartbeat over it. There are many experiences that you and I go through in our lives where we see there is toil and trouble, there is anguish, there's conflict, their relationships breaking up, there's an insecurity, whether that's financial or whether emotional or whatever it is. But let me just tell you, from the basis of this psalm, it tells us that we can trust wholeheartedly in God. I think it's verse 4 says, into your hands I commit my spirit. That's what Jesus did. On the cross, that was the last thing that he was going to say. Because, and Jesus was able to have such confidence in his Father who loved him so much. And that Father loves you too. We can commit ourselves totally to him. But that is a choice that we have. We've made a choice as to whether we're going to follow Jesus or not. We've made a choice as to whether we're going to follow that path that he has for us or not. And we're going to make a choice as to whether we trust him entirely or not. That choice is yours. And it's not a choice I can make for you. So I leave that with you. I'll knock off there, a little earlier perhaps than you were expecting. But this evening, I just want to unpack a little bit more of that psalm, Psalm 31. Because it is such a valuable psalm that it allow you, if you were able to trust God's word in the way that David was able to trust it, despite all the problems he had, and he acknowledged all those problems too. I'm not saying that we should go around and not be and give a false impression with regard to our security and our comfort. We shouldn't do that. We should be giving an impression of the reality of how we see God helping us in our day-to-day experience. And in that testimony, that will have a great impact on the people that are around us. David was saying in that psalm, it's my neighbors I can't get on with. They're the ones that are actually causing me more grief. What he had in his heart was a trust in God who could actually set him on the right road and keep him on the right road and give him that peace in his heart and mind and spirit. I leave that with you. And I trust that our God will bless each one of you in a special way at this time of peace and goodwill towards men. Now, we're going to share communion.